Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Words from the Word. This is Friday, May 3rd. Can you believe it? This year is marching by swiftly. But we thank God for such a beautiful day today. We thank Him for His Word and His truth. We're just grateful. We're grateful for life and that life more abundantly. And so we are coming together as our Friday Fellowship of Learners, and we are looking at the supernatural transformation of the heart, the supernatural transformation of the heart, having a heart like God's heart, having a heart like God's heart. We are in chapter 4, and we're only going to do probably a little ways into it. There's so much in each of these chapters, we don't want to rush through it, so we're not going to do a chapter a week. But as we enter this fourth chapter, we're coming from the function of the heart, chapter 3, where the author presents to us the functions of the heart. The heart had five functions that he gave us illumination on. It regulates the flow of life. Our hearts are the gatekeeper to our lives. Our hearts facilitate the intimate relationships we have. It generates belief and trust in God, and our heart is to be committed to God and to other people. And so as we saw the elements of the function of the heart, the author shared it naturally and then related it spiritually. And we saw that our hearts, as they regulated the flow of life, they also allowed us to transmit to God what was in our heart through our words. So we saw that our words became transmittals to God. We were told to, in the heart, to do some things on a regular basis, to examine our heart, to monitor our heart, to regulate what was in our heart, to guard what goes in our heart, and to watch over what's been put into our heart so that it may stay pure. We're looking at the three elements of man: his soul, his spirit, and his body. His soul, his spirit, and his body. And so when we are looking and examining this makeup of man, the spiritual DNA of man, we have to understand the areas that are a part of the DNA and how, once this is transformed, this spiritual transformation of our DNA, who and what we were born to be, who we were born to be, and what we were born to do. And as the scripture shares with us that we were, and I found that interesting, I'd always thought it said we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. But I realized in researching, trying to just find the scripture, that what the scripture actually says is, and this is from Psalms 51 and 5, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." And I guess we interpret that to be, I was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And so the Lord would have us look at the elements, the DNA of man, the fact that he is first centered in the spirit, and then the next aspect of man is his soul, and then the final aspect of man is his body. So he is a spirit, and that spirit is what we were born in. It says, and my mother conceived me. And sin, my mother did conceive me. So that made that my identity. My identity was the identity of sin, the sin nature, the first Adam. And so that spirit man, that old spirit man, was what became my identity. I was no longer, well, we'll just say that became our identity. In our mother's womb, we were conceived. In sin, we were conceived. That DNA was the old sin nature. And as a result of that, our soul came to be shaped by the error of the sin nature. So then the spirit man in the core of our identity started influencing our soul, which is why thinking, our emotions, and our will, and it shaped it in iniquities, in the wrong thinking, in the wrong opposing nature of God. No longer was it in harmony with God, but it was in opposition to God because it was out of the old nature. So our identity started to transform and be, our identity started the transformation of our soul. When we were born, we became influenced by the nature of the old Adam. So our thinking was distorted, our emotions was distorted, and our will was distorted because it was no longer based, our identity wasn't based on our created nature, but the old nature of Adam. And as a result, being shaped, so we shaped, becoming the person that DNA, brown hair, blue eyes, and, you know, tall, light, dark, you know, big feet, little eyes, little ears. It was shaped by the error of the old nature. And that transformed us physically from the image we were originally created to have. And so our body then became distorted, the body of our senses. We started to want the wrong thing, see things wrong, hear things according to our own flesh and will and desire, and everything was filtered through the iniquities that had shaped our lives. And so Christ came to change that. And in doing so, he, as we received his truth and received the gift of salvation, saving us from the old man, choosing to no longer be an heir of Adam, the first Adam, but rather coming into agreement with the last Adam, who was pure and holy. And so now in our spirit man, we are no longer the old Adam, but we are a new creature. And as a new creature, through Jesus Christ, his blood, and his resurrection, which is where we have the power, which is where Holy Spirit dwells in us, to now start influencing our soul, okay, influence our thinking, influencing our emotions, influencing our will. And this influence from the last Adam, the pure identity that we have in Christ, and how many times have we gone through the list of my identity in Christ? And we want to look at that because we now need to understand this new nature, it is new to us, And so as a result, we need to know what it should look like. And so as a result, we have the new nature. Okay. So we're going to look at today our identity in Christ. We've established how this transformation of our spiritual DNA is taking place. As a graphic illustration of those three circles, and we can begin to understand how that core, that identity in Christ, is going to start influencing our soul, which is our thinking and our emotions and our will. And this is a progression of things and how that is going to start then transforming us in our senses and our body. This is when what we're going to start produce is not sin babies and the results of sin, but rather what we're going to do now is start producing fruit from the Spirit that is dwelling within us. And so we challenged from now on that we would find a fruit of the week to look into and look at, and we decided that fruit this week would be long-suffering. We said we would pick a promise that we would share. We said that we would also get a scripture of one another, and we were committed to memorizing one so that it would be what carries us through as we are getting submerged in the way of the Spirit. We want the truth from that to now manifest and take root. We were told in the prior chapters, the best way to change our heart, this transformation of our spiritual DNA, the best way to do it is to memorize and meditate on God's word until it is deeply planted in our inner being. And remember that inner being is our heart, which will transform our soul. And so we realize that this is what we are challenged to do. So I ask you all to put your phones on mute unless you're ready to share, because otherwise we hear the background noise. And so we appreciate all of our listeners this morning. We're not sure if you are aware of some of the things that we have been talking about in the past, but we do encourage you. We encourage you to come with your pencils and papers, take notes, and you could also listen to prior Blog Talk lessons from Words on the Word. And I'll give that information to you as well as my phone number that you can call and give me your email address and some of the supporting information that we're looking at. It can be sent to you. So we do want to start off. We did a little review of what we did last week and the whole foundation of what we will be doing throughout this book, which is the nature of man. He is a body, that's the outer. He is a soul, that's the inner. And he is a spirit, that is the core. The core is where the transformation must take place. That is the heart. That is the place now that Christ sits and rules in the lives of those who have embraced the ministry of salvation that Christ has given us. And if you're not sure, we do have information that we can share with you and would love to share with you so that the power of this transformation may be manifest in your life. And so, to give a hint, the lines are open, so you can share with us what you either your promise of God that you're choosing to embrace and memorize in this season of your life, a scripture for the one another. So it's going to be those two things, and if even from the one another, the promise, we also ask you to start sharing and reading in Matthew 5th, 6th, and 7th chapter. So you're live, you're on the air. Anybody want to share their life work with us this morning? Okay, we don't all
have to ask for forgiveness because I was so busy. I forgot about it and didn't get to do it.
Not a problem.
I am so
not
sorry.
Not a problem.
But I was looking at my notes earlier this morning, and so one of them, the one another that I looked at, was Galatians 6 and 2. And
okay.
Let me see if I can, I had it up here. But it says, carry each other's burden. It says, bear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And that is to carry their heaviness, their weight, their trouble, and their burden. And that was one of the one another's.
Amen. Anybody else?
Good morning. Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
My love ministry for one another was encourage one another. I don't have the scripture right now with that, but my scripture a word was peace from the fruit of the Spirit. And it was great spiritual blessings and divine favor to you and peace. And that's 1 Thessalonians 1:1. And that was what I had. And then also he had given me that be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, as we make our request known to him, he will give us the peace of God, which passes all understanding, to keep our heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And that's Philippians 4:6-8.
Amen. Thank you. Good job. Anybody else? I'm going to share mine, and actually, I love the Lord because, well, I love him. But in the things that he asks us to do, he gives us, he says, whatever, he doesn't ask you to do anything he doesn't equip you to do. And what I found, actually, as I was doing the lesson, is the fact that the lesson is built on a promise. And that's out of Deuteronomy 30:6. And today I have my Bible, praise God, 30:6. And it says, and the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. I love it. So this is the motivating truth that I want to memorize until my heart is, it is planted deep within my heart. It is rooted there. Nothing can come forth from me that is not based on that promise. And in that promise, it gives God the authority as well as it, as I declare it, what I am saying is God says, try me now. And this is what I'm saying. Okay, Lord, you said you will circumcise my heart. You said you will circumcise the heart of my seed, and that we will love you with all our hearts and with all our soul, so that we might live. And in that promise, we see it so many times fulfilled through Jesus Christ, who said he has come so that we may have life more abundantly. And God says he has poured his love in our hearts. And he says that he will circumcise, so that he will correct. He will separate anything that's between him and us. He will cut it out. So he is making the commitment to me. And I just need to expect, accept, and know that it is coming from my core identity, which is in Christ. And so as a result, I will be empowered to be absolutely surrendered, to be completely obedient, and to love the Lord with all my heart and my soul. And so then the Bible, the lesson also brought me to my one another. Hebrews 3 and 13, this is all in our reading today. It says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So our lesson today is coming from the fourth chapter, which is heart of stone or heart of flesh. And so this particular one another engages me not only in what I can share about God, but also what I can rely on for myself. Because it says, as I share with others daily, not letting it linger, but as it happens, the now, and I share, the exhort, that's what that means. I share, I acknowledge, or I see what I see that is not according in harmony with God. I make it known. I share it with people so that I will not end up having my heart deceived by that same thing. Because as I say it, I speak up against it. I speak out. First, I speak out against it, and I speak up to the fact that that shall not be in my life. And it's and this will motivate me by knowing and resisting the enemy, identifying him, resisting him, exhorting others as it relates to that. And then the truth will cause the enemy to flee. So my struggle and frustrations should lessen as I memorize, as I meditate on this, and as I put it into action, so that it becomes a part of a strong faith. And so by just saying scripture for the ministry of one another, I am resisting the deceitfulness of the enemy. And in the chapter, it shares the fact that committing repeated sins is what causes us to have a hard heart. So I am now guarding my heart through the Word of God. I'm watching over it. I'm watching over the truth and the love that God has poured in my heart. I'm watching over it with His Word by being obedient, not just only to God, but being obedient to God, that will bless my brothers and my sisters as well as myself. And so God's Word is multifaceted. It doesn't just accomplish one thing, but many things when we obey one thing. So when we take this one scripture to obey it, it affects our life, the lives of our brothers and sisters around us. That creates an environment in our sphere of influence that is in harmony with God, and that brings glory to God, and God shines upon that. You know, His countenance shines upon us, and we have this peace, we have this power, and then we have this abundant life, because that is what was shared through the promise that was in Deuteronomy. And so we want to take these things and we want to allow Holy Spirit to teach them to our spirits. And as a result, the Bible even shares with us, there are scriptures that say when you do that for one of your brothers and sisters, even when it may not be immediately embraced, they will see as they go forward that it saved them. And that's how true love is strengthened and developed, and how it becomes contagious, because then you'll want to do it for someone else. You'll understand that at first it's just like a lot of things we learned at the Seder. It may not taste good, or it may taste good going down, then it turns bitter. But it may be bitter going in, but it does us a body good. It does a body good. And that body then will produce the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the fruit of the Spirit we were to look at this week was the fruit of long-suffering. And in the fruit of long-suffering, the examination for it.
Amen, Mr. Paulette.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
I just wanted to say that the scripture that you had for your promise, that I didn't think of it earlier, but that was one of the scriptures that when we were in the other book, that was one of that has been one of the things that I have been putting before the Lord.
Amen.
And I didn't think of it earlier, but when you said it, I said, "Oh Lord, but that's the
Amen.
One I've been putting before you since we were in the other book."
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. And that's what we want to do. We want this stuff to start connecting. And because that's how we pull it out and it flows. That's how this river of life flows through us. We have to, all this stuff, it has been gathered in a place, and he's pouring it out, and he's going to use it to transform the environment that is around us through it just working, because it does. The Word of God is alive, and it's pertinent today, and people need to see it, and the only way to do that is for us to live it. To live it out, and to live it out loud. Amen, amen. So when we start making the connection, that's Holy Spirit building up our most holy faith. That's Holy Spirit revealing to us. He said he'll bring back to our remembrance those things. And those are the things that have been poured into our heart. And now it is time to allow them to flow from our heart. Amen, amen. To motivate and encourage our soul. And so, we were looking at I do want to get into today's lesson. Okay. We were looking at the fruit of the Spirit and of long suffering. I wonder, you know, most people, they don't really care that much for that particular fruit. No one wants to suffer. Okay. Okay. Looking at it, it's interesting that, you know, we have all these versions and they take words and they change them, but let's go to the lesson, and then we'll get back to that particular fruit. But as you reading this, a heart of stone or a heart of flesh, we want to keep in mind the fact that that fruit requires us in the ministry of one another. And that fruit is one that will cause us to always regard another over ourselves. And anytime we do that, we are crucifying our flesh. And so the author shares, all of us have a heart that is hardened in some area and on to certain degrees in our lives. Our heart condition and it's been rendered hindering our life in certain areas. Moreover, we should be aware that any person's heart has a potential to grow increasingly hard so that it eventually affects his entire being. So we are susceptible to such a hardening process. So it may not be originally, which is why the Word of God has to continue to prepare the soul of our heart in areas so that they don't then infect the good part of our hearts, the good soil, the good deed, by changing our emotions. Often our emotions, bitterness, depression, anger, resentment, and those things, if they creep in and they're there, they're the things that will cause our hearts to be hearts of stone. And so the author says the Greek term, he says the hardness of, for the word, hardness of heart, is a destitute of spiritual perception. A destitute of spiritual perception, a wonderful concept that Christians have in their spiritual growth and development. We start off with a destitute of spiritual perception. We just don't understand it. It doesn't make sense. And the word says that the things of God will be foolishness to man. But it takes the Holy Spirit to give us an understanding as he teaches us and brings us to the place where the spiritual things start making sense, because we get a God's eye view. We get to receive the truth of God and trust it. Remember, to trust it, to know it, to have faith in it, and then to trust it, and then he builds an even greater faith through it. So a destitute of spiritual perception, the hardness of heart. In Mark 16 and 14, it reads, later Jesus appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had arisen. So they had a destitute of spiritual perception as long as they had been with them. And remember, we were sharing, these are saved people. These are people that were walking and following Christ, but they didn't understand. They lacked that level in this area of their life. And remember, these are degrees and areas, because this, all transformation happens as a relationship of intimacy is developed, as it is nurtured, as it grows. And the closer we come to him in intimacy, then the more enlightenment our eyes will have. And then we can look at a thing, and our eyes of our understanding are enlightened. That's because we're not now being influenced by the Spirit of Christ, who we are and what we know about him. He's in our spirit realm, and because that is bringing insight to our soul, and that then brings the transformation of the fruit that comes from us. But we have to have this ongoing relationship where it says to be destitute is a serious condition. The word indicates a lack of spiritual discernment or sensitivity, a deficiency of understanding in relation to spiritual truth. This deficiency, it blocks our knowledge of the true nature of God and Jesus, and it limits our intimacy with God. And if it does not be checked, it will cause us to neglect and to disobey. And that's how this hardening process would start to take root. And so in order for that not to happen, in order for that not to happen, to fulfill the greatest commandments, which is to love, we have to have a distance to God that's closer than today than it was yesterday. So, as we look at the fact that the disciples, though they were with Christ, they did not fully understand everything he was saying. Now, they understood a lot more than they did the day before, the year before, and the year before that when they started off. It was a process, and Christ was committed to them and their process. He did not reject them. He did not condemn them, but rather what he did, he exhorted them. He rebuked them because he was saying, you shouldn't think like that. There is a different way that you should think. Remember, he's transforming their thinking based on the new nature that they were getting, and that was the nature of Christ. No, you don't want to think that way. You want to start thinking this way. And he's just saying to them, your heart is hardened because it's an area there that wants to be able to see a thing. He was rebuking your unbelief. He was rebuking the fact that they didn't believe. It's like that was a precept, a spiritual precept. They were destitute. They didn't have that understanding. Someone had saw it, and they had shared it, and Christ had talked to them about it, but they weren't at the place where their minds and hearts embraced it. And so he rebuked them, and he indicated that this is a heart condition that we need to correct. And that's it. It's no condemnation, but look, let's correct it. Remember, we're supposed to be examining, monitoring, regulating, guarding, and watching over. And remember, one of the ways we monitor, God monitors what's going on in us is by our words, by the words that they share. Christ, even though he knows their heart, he heard it and he let them know, no, this is in your heart, but this must come out. Because if it doesn't, this is something that will cause you to become cynical. It causes you to become critical. And it causes you to become judgmental. Oh, what are they talking about? And it causes you to start murmuring, complaining, sharing your own opinion. All of the things, and these were not things of sinners. These were things of the disciples that followed Christ. And so we have to look at those experiences and those examples so that we can then see them in our own lives and guard against them and put a stop to them and realize, okay, what did God put in place so that this lack of spiritual perception can change? Well, there's a scripture. He says, Paul shares, he says, let the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. Okay, let's not be destitute of spiritual perception, but let the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. Remember, we were talking about the body, the soul, and the spirit. So let the body of your, let the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you will understand the hope of your calling. You will have this spiritual perception that will bless you. And then you'll understand the great inheritance you have from that spirit in you of the new nature. And so this is all, it's being kneeled together, it's being worked into, because this is how you shape a thing, and this is how we are transformed from that shaped in iniquity to now we're shaped into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And this is done through understanding and receiving the ongoing process of spiritual perception and understanding. But without that, it says love grows cold. I love the way the author shares in here, and those that I'm just going to read it because I believe that you will see that prophetically God is reaching out to his people, and there are things that he needs us now to embrace. And he says, we are living in a season in which God is bringing acceleration to every area of our life, as well as a movement of miracle signs and wonders. So we hear the word acceleration, movement, which is momentum, miracles, which is miracles, signs and wonders, and as never seen before. By acceleration, it's a more rapid transition to greater levels of faith and a faster heart transformation that enables us to function in higher dimensions of the supernatural realm. Two movements of the glory of God, the former glory represented by the miracles of the Old Testament and the latter glory represented by the miracles Jesus predicted would occur in the church, are coming together in a dual manifestation. So here we have maturation, a rapid transformation to a greater level of faith and a faster heart transformation that's maturing, that is no longer being destitute in any area or in areas of our heart that don't belong to God, but rather transforming our spiritual DNA quickly, accelerated in this season and in totality of our heart. Will it be total? No. But that is the goal, and it is being reached, it is being attacked, it is being addressed by God in an accelerated form because he is giving us the information we need, the intimacy that comes, the information we receive because of the intimacy we have with him, and it will transform and bring God's plan together. You know, there was the 18, they said, the guy was saying, you know, I love it when he could see a plan come together. We need to love this. God's plan is coming together. And as this happens, this will help not to bring us to a place of a hard heart, which is why we can't afford to linger with a hardness of heart in areas of our life. We need to surrender to the accelerated preparation that God is and work that God is doing so that he can manifest the things in the church that were spoken of by Christ through miracles. I love it. In this one little section, it includes everything that we've been focusing on, maturation, momentum, miracles, and manifestation. It says, because lawlessness will abound and the love of many will grow cold. So we have to guard, watch over, regulate, examine, and monitor the condition of our heart. Otherwise, it says love may grow. No, it says many, it will grow cold. In other words, it says because of lawlessness will abound. Now, you have within you the spiritual transformation of your DNA. And remember, the old nature was involved with the influence that was being exerted on your soul. We have to be careful that we don't allow the outside world to now try to influence our souls. And so because of lawlessness around us, what the law say, what people say, the way people act, what's common sense today is not good sense, and it is not God sense, but it is taken for correctness, where he says there are times that people will say right is wrong and wrong is right. And that's exactly what they're doing. And when people say it enough, because remember, we are transformed by hearing. It says hearing, you know, we believe because we hear. And if we're hearing this on a more, on a greater level than what we're hearing from the Word of God and through the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit, then the influence will start to try to grow over us that will make our love for God grow cold. And it will cause us to then start compromising in areas and accepting less and less. And we have to make sure that that is not a part of what we're doing. And so as a result, that's one of the things it says, that genuine love, to a certain degree, this end time coldness is the reason why some people are no longer sensitive to genuine love. So this sensitivity is a part of long suffering. And it says they lack empathy for other people's physical, emotional, or spiritual pain. They are not in tune to God, Holy Spirit, His Word, the Lord Jesus, or His will, and that's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are not in tune to them. They are not listening to what's in them, but they are rather taking the influence of what is around them and causing that to now to start distort what's coming out of them, which should be the fruit of the Spirit, coming out of us, which should be the fruit of the Spirit, but rather it's now starting to grow, to wither, to turn cold. Your motivation isn't as passionate as it should be, because it's now being attacked on the outside by other influences that make you think, well, maybe it is all right. No, it is. We always have to weigh and pray it against the Word of God. We always have to be in tune, too. We're learning in one of the classes the voices that we hear. So in tune to the voice of the Father, which will give us His will, the voice of the Son, which gives us the Word, and then the voice of the Holy Spirit, which will show us the way and give us a direction that we should take, and not take the direction that man says, well, yeah, and even the church, well, yeah, but we're going to, because the churches are saying, well, okay, it's okay for same partnering, you know, sex partnering, whatever, and so it's making compromises, and that will cause our love to grow cold, and no longer want to stand in that fierce passion for Jesus Christ, where we will be obedient unto death, and then it goes on to recovering the heart. We have to remember that the new man in us is Christ, and He is able, through His power, to, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And that's, those are things that, Word of God, that will enforce our motivation, it will fuel our passion, because it will be a truth that will fight against the enemy. Remember, we said in the beginning, you resist him and he will flee. He will flee. He won't become a part. He can't stay in your heart because you resist him with the truth of God. Since we live in the midst of a fallen world where sin operates and corruption destroys, we must watch over our hearts to keep it from slowly growing cold and becoming hard from exposure to false perceptions and negative attitudes of people around us, or as we react to the trouble and crisis occurring in the world, whether it's from economic decline, financial just destruction all over the place, natural destruction, and emotional destruction. There are so many people, if you sit and you just watch in a public place that are wounded, that are just in, you could just see in their spirits, they're not whole, they're broken, they're living in misery. When you look at the news, all of the misery and the confusion, some of the minds of or the acts of people that they're reporting, it's like, what mind does that? But a mind that's grown cold, a mind that's grown cold because of a heart that has been disconnected from the true source of life and the only life is Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so if you don't have him, then you are going to be in a place of destruction. And yet, we have to guard against the fact that even in the midst of the church, in the midst of our own home, even in the midst of where we sit, we often say things that are negative. They do not support the power and truth of what God says. And it's God's people. If we don't, then it won't happen in the earth realm. And so when we even think, oh, I don't know, this is not good, not judging things. But, you know, when we complain, when we murmur, when we don't give glory and honor, when we don't thank God in all things, you know, whatever it is we're doing, we have to make sure that, you know, we need this heart that gives glory to God. That's one of the heart conditions. And that's one of the things we'll find in Matthew in the 5th, 6th, and 7th chapter of the things that they say that Christ shared must be in order to recover our heart. And again, my scripture blessing promise was God will circumcise our heart. So in other words, it's his commitment to us to change us, because he knows us and he loves us as we are. He understands us, and he knows better what is keeping us separate from him. So this spiritual circumcision, who means that we will this spiritual circumcision takes away the barriers between God and us and between us and others so that we may love him with our whole being. God will give us a heart of flesh in exchange for a heart of stone, and then we will live in a true and full sense. That's life, and life more abundantly. And going on, if you have inspiration, that which was shared as you went through this reading, please, like I say, you're on speaker, feel free to chime in. There is a slight delay, so you can just talk, and it'll come through, and we'll know, and we'll make adjustments. Don't say, well, I don't want to bother you. But no, if God has given you truth, please share it, okay?
And Minister Paula, what stood out to me was those words, when I saw the words manifestation, miracles, and maturation. I said, oh, mm-hmm. my goodness, those are words from the retreat, the conference. Those are words that, prophet and apostle mm-hmm. have been using this year. Mm-hmm. And they just popped out, But it brought a little more clarity to me mm-hmm. about them, if I could say it like that,
mm-hmm.
As Amen. I was reading it. And as you go further, then, you will see the maturation is mentioned. And I said, mm-hmm. oh, my goodness, this is.
Absolutely.
And like you say, I
Absolutely.
Agree with not going too fast, because it's just so much, that I didn't even think about. I never thought that the way he brought out about the disciples and
mm-hmm.
the Lord using them, it's just the way he's bringing, scripture
Amen.
Out and different things pertaining to our heart. It's like, oh, I don't know, when I read this, I know God is doing something with me. What he's doing, I'm not quite sure. Well, I know one thing.
Amen.
He is circumcised mm-hmm. in my heart, because when I read
yeah.
a lot of this,
yeah.
tears just come to my eyes, and I know sometimes we don't realize that our
mm-hmm.
hearts is in such a mess, if I can use
Amen.
That word.
Amen.
And,
yeah.
So why am I tearing up? What's going on? But I know he's cleansing me from what I'm not even aware is there.
Yes.
And different, you know, just even different things, hurts and
mm-hmm.
all kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Exactly. Yes.
I'm just really, I'm enjoying this journey because I want him to, you know, I always say, oh, Lord, I want a heart like yours. I've told him that all my life, really, far
mm-hmm.
as I can remember as a child,
mm-hmm.
you know, just coming to know him. I want to be like you, you know, I want a heart like yours. I want this, I want that.
Yes.
And he's bringing them different things to my remembrance, what I would
mm-hmm.
say growing up. And I thank him for putting a love for him in me at an early
yes,
age.
Yes.
And I tell him all the time,
amen.
It has taken me so long. Well, why, you know, why do I keep falling? Why do I keep doing this or that? Or, you know, I've told him that down through the year. What's wrong with me? You know, but coming to know people didn't use a process or progression or
mm-hmm.
any of those things. You
mm-hmm.
just
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, I just beat myself up because I just feel like, well,
mm-hmm.
you know, something wrong with me. I can't get it right here. But
mm-hmm.
in the studying and then coming to know the apostle
mm-hmm.
in you, you know, it has really helped my journey, you know.
Praise God.
And I told him,
you know,
I said, you know, to get the age that I am, Lord, and I'm, you know, still trying to get it right, you know, because it's just
and he
my...
wants to, but, you know, yeah, but he wants us to be, he's teaching us in this season.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. It's okay. This is his plan. And where we
mm-hmm.
see we fail, what he is doing is showing us how much he loves us, because first of all, when we see he failed and we know he still stayed with us, that's what built our relationship. And there was stuff that we know now, he could not have given this to me 10 years ago because I
mm-hmm.
wasn't in a place to receive this kind of truth. Neither was any of us. He's building, and he says, slowly, you know, I have drawn you. I have, you know, with loving kindness, I've drawn. So he's gone at the pace that we need, but what he's done, and he's so wonderful. After we get there, and we look back. That's godly sorry. That, you know, oh God, you know, how, you know, why couldn't I have been like this then? But the thing is, thank him that I'm not still there. Because a lot of people, when you look back, they're still there. They're
uh-huh.
still there. But he has put in you that desire, and it is. He is so awesome. We can't just
yes.
get straight to him and be, you know, we burn up because there's too much
mm-hmm.
in our flesh, like you say, that we don't even know about. And so but he does, and he understands it. And so he orders our steps through our journey and the places he plants us in, the people he brings in our path, and the truth that Holy Spirit is giving us. And so he's doing that. This is his plan. Ours would look
mm-hmm.
different, but he's saying, feel good about where you are, because it's me. It is me
mm-hmm.
in you. And as I am in you, I'm going to bring, he promised, that's his promise, I'm going to do this for you. You know, and so
yeah.
the enemy would like to beat us up, oh, you just can't. But what I love about it is, like the Apostle Paul himself said, when I would do right, I don't. You know, oh, wretched man that I am. However, thanks be unto God for his son. And so that's
yeah,
the thing.
Yeah.
You know, so we look back, and then we look back. Now we can appreciate what Jesus done. We can appreciate who he is. Otherwise, we'd have thought we did it ourselves. We know we didn't do it because too many times we tried and we couldn't.
Right.
And we had to be convinced of that. Just like with the disciples. They thought they was there so much so that they could talk smack. And when they started talking smack, Jesus started rebuking them. You wrong, and you wrong, because you don't even know the whole picture. You think because you walk with me, you got it like that. No, you've been given
yes, yes.
a portion, and you will know, you know, when he said later, you'll see clearly the fact that you were in my house and you were a beast before me, because you were so far removed from the precepts of the kingdom. You were still thinking worldly. But he's saying that now, and I'm going to tell you, and I don't care, I know people may get tired of hearing me say it, you need to read Matthew 5, 6, and 7. That's the kingdom of God. And it ain't nothing like what we were taught. It ain't nothing like what you look around and see now. That is not what was established or is being valued and established in this day and age. This is a wicked world. They do not want you to turn the other cheek. This is a wicked world. They want you to take folks to sue them. You know, they want you to close your door and not open the door when your neighbor comes for the fifth time in the middle of the night. Okay, but it's that the kingdom of God is you have no more preference. You have no more. You are no more. That's what it is. You are dead in Christ. And it's Christ who lives through you. So, again, that cliche that got lost in the power of it, what would Jesus do? But in order to know that, you got to know the way, the truth, and the life. That means you have to know him. So you need to know what he has said. You need to know the word. You need to hear the voice of the word, which is the Son of God, that will teach us about the kingdom of heaven, because he's the only one that's been there. Been there, done that, established it, and now he's establishing it on earth now. Yeah. And so it's not what deacon so-and-so or prophet so-and-so or the big bishop or whatever. It's not what they say unless they're saying what God said. The scripture tells us if you hear any other doctrine other than Jesus Christ, it is false, it is a lie. And we have heard so many doctrines that are not of Jesus Christ. It is false. And the enemy, what the enemy does, he just changes it ever so slightly where it may have a sound like. I was under the impression, I was looking for it. We are born in sin and shaped in iniquity. That's what I thought the scripture says. There's nowhere in the Bible that those words are used. Born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Now, it says shaped in iniquity because you were born, your mother conceived in sin. And that's a totally different understanding. But just ever so changing it, we miss the power of what really is taking place with the new creature, which is why we figure the new creature just can't be. But when you understand the fact that what shaped you was the wrong thinking of the enemy of God, and that was the enemy to God, which is Satan, which is the first Adam. And so as we are in this season, in this thing, he is giving us signposts so that you know you got it, you're walking in the right way, this is it. And that's why over here at this church you're here, at the conference you're here, at this place you're here, in this book that was written, I don't know how long ago and when, we're at the place right now in this season where it's talking about maturation, miracles, manifestations, and momentum. And momentum. Acceleration was the momentum. The acceleration was the first word we got. It may have been 3 years ago. Because I'll say 2 years ago. Then last year, it was these four things. And it is continuing in this year. And it's going along with these P's. The plan, the purpose, the promise, the position, and those things. And so we're understanding that this is orchestrated by God. You know, when a person goes to write a orchestra, a sonata and whatever, they get notes and they start putting notes together and they put it on paper and they'll play this little part of it. And Elder know what I'm talking about. You play that little part of it. You play this little part of it. And then that kind of sounds, that match that and that match that part and that part. Then you play the whole thing. And it's beautiful. But while you're learning it, you got this key and this key and that key, and then this hand and that hand. So it's bit by bit, but it's going to produce a great work. And that's what we have to believe. That's what we have to see. That's what we have to ascribe to and surrender to. It is a tedious process, but quite frankly, God has done the work. Jesus Christ did all the work. Okay, we have not suffered unto the shedding of blood in any area unless it was one that we had no business in. And so as a result, whatever we're asked to do, okay, is a small thing. He said everything I ask you to do is going to be easy and light because I done did all the hard work. And so surrender to that, say that, and believe that, and walk in that so that other people can see that, know that, and see the hope of your calling. That's why you were called, not to, so that your life could be perfect or not be with stress or trouble or anything like that, but so that in those things, because you're in this world is wicked. It is weak. It is sick. It is corrupt. And it is broken because it is a matter of individuals wanting their own selfish ways in whatever area of life that is influencing us. It is individuals that are wanting their own way, not the way, you know, it said originally on the money of the United States, in God we trust. That is no longer true. And so, quite frankly, the money ain't worth it. Because if it's built on a lie, because we don't trust in him, then it is not going to stand. Now, if we trust in him, then the money, you can write it on a piece of paper, that money will have more value than the U.S. currency. You write on your piece of paper, in God I trust, then that has more value than the money, the $100,000 bills, I don't know what it is, because they don't trust in him. And as a result, those that don't, it is going to fall. Even, and God knows it, even the monetary system of this country is going to collapse because it's built on a lie. He said a house that is built on sand is not going to stand, and it isn't. And so we want to make sure. That's why he says in the end, you know, the love of many are going to go cold because people are going to become so frustrated. They're going to become so fearful. Because what they're trusting in is not working because it is not on the will of God. And so as a result, they become cold, they become callous, they become empathetic. They, you know, so people do things that have no respect for someone else's emotional or physical pain or their spiritual suffering. So when someone is suffering spiritually, we say, it's your fault. What's wrong with you? Why you don't believe God? That is not what we're told to do. We're told to be compassionate, to be merciful, to be kind, to be gentle. Yes, they are suffering. So if you know, then you bear their burden. He says, let the strong bear the infirmities of the weak. That's the kingdom of God. It is not to heap coals on their head, but rather let the coals fall on yours because you know they won't burn you because you're living in a faith that believes what God says, and he says, not these things will harm you. He told Paul, you know, and about the serpent, he said, hey, you can walk on them, and they can't poison you because you're in Christ, and that is a place that can't be reached by the world, but we have to remain in Christ. We often get in him in one area, but we sticking out of him in another. You know, we got a hand outside of that circle. You know, we may have one hand kind of, you know, on two fences, one on this side, one on that. You got to get all the way in there. You got to hide in him and not come out, not be coaxed out. And when something goes wrong and you're not sure and you're in a painful suffering or you're emotionally distressed, don't come out. Still stay where he is and what he's told you to do, and no matter whether you see it happening or not, believe it to be, and then trust. Remember, this is all based on trust and faith. Then faith that brings more trust, and then trust that brings more faith, because you don't come out. You stay where you are until he, you know, that song says, you know, I won't move until his will is clear to me. Until the next thing I know that's come from the voice of Holy Spirit who gives me the direction that is in line with the word of God that gives me the Jesus and his power that's in line with the will of God, which is why this whole thing exists, because God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes shall not perish but have everlasting life. So we won't perish. In other words, we won't have to live as paupers here. We won't perish in our heart, our love going cold. It won't. But we have to monitor. We have to guard. We have to regulate. We have to watch over. And we have to examine our heart. And so as he explains the doctrine of the Pharisees, there were several examples that he gave as it related to this destitute of spiritual perception, people understanding the kingdom of God and the attitude that they were to have, even as it related to the stiff-necked people, unleavened bread. You know, he talked not unleavened bread, but the feeding of the multitude, because their perception was, you can't feed all these people. Okay, but his spiritual perception was this: my God can do all things. So what you got? Because he can make much out of little. And so that was Christ, but they were destitute of that understanding. And because they didn't have it, they felt hopeless in the situation. So they decided, then I tell you what we do. What you want us to do? Go to the town and buy them food? We don't have enough food to buy. That's man trying to work out his circumstances. And Christ saying, no, go find. Let me tell you what to do. I'm going to tell you to do something that don't make sense at all to you. You know that little boy with those two loaves and five fish? Bring them. And they think, oh, you're going to feed everybody with this? That's how we look at God's solution to a lot of our problems and our situations. They don't believe it. We don't believe it. We sit in unbelief, just like the disciples did. And he rebukes us for that. And then he sits us down, and he shows, now watch me. Give it here, and watch what happens when I bless things. When I bless things, then they all fulfill whatever it is that the need is. And not only just for you, but for everybody around you. Because it didn't just feed the disciples, it fed over 5,000. And so just realizing that this heart condition, you know, we often think of hard-hearted as like one of those criminals, Hannibal, or, you know, people that do Hitler, horrible, horrible things. No, hard-hearted are, the Paulettes and the son, as I'm going to call people's name, I know, and the people who have areas in their heart that have not been surrendered to God, that makes us hard-hearted. And as he reveals them, praise God, we thank him that he then forgives us and he circumcises us. And we as we did at one of the retreats, a circumcision, a kit, and we sat and we covered it with that white linen. That's Christ. So we cover the wound while the truth of Christ heals. And once it's healed, then our heart is his. That part of our heart has been created in the flesh of Christ, not our flesh, but the perfect flesh of Christ, the unblemished flesh of Christ. And so we're up to the repeated sins and what causes the heart to harden. That's about as far as we got today. But any insights, inspirations, words you want to share, understanding you receive, questions you may have? Amen. And so as we go through, We just want to thank you for sharing with us today and encourage you. This is a very powerful book, and we'll probably be in it for the rest of the year. So if you don't have it, get it. There's time. Don't think, well, no, it doesn't matter, because he builds weekly on what has gone from before, but he reviews it as well. And so with each one, you do have an opportunity to, you know, be up to date and receive a truth that is applicable to where we are in our studies. So we are in chapter 4, Heart of Stone or Heart of Flesh. And this heart of flesh is indicating the flesh of Jesus Christ, not our own, but the heart of the flesh of Jesus Christ. So keep in mind your diagram of the elements of makes up a man, his body, his soul, and his spirit, and allow the Holy Spirit to give you revelation as it relates to that and the transformation of each one of those areas. The one area that happens when we are buried with Christ and we rise in baptism, when the Holy Ghost fills us with his presence, and then he starts to influence the rest of our being and us surrendering to that influence. So we do want to thank everybody. Excited about first Sunday in May, just because it's first Sunday and it's a new month, and we thank God for it. We pray your worship experience will honor and glorify him, and not just be an experience, but a continuation of your life of worship and praise to the worthy one, a life that will never end because we will worship and praise him for eternity. So we love you, we thank you, we celebrate you, and we are excited about your studying, you getting your promises, and getting your one another scripture and memorizing it and then utilizing it in your living. So God bless you, and we will talk again on our next Friday fellowship. I do want to share again my phone number. Yes, it's 630-701-4303. You can call me at any time and share and questions, and text me your email address so that I can send you any of the supporting resources we have as we do this study. Amen and amen. All right.
Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Amen. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.